Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm sitting there thinking about the Lions issues, which are pretty, if you look at what's happened so far in a 1-1 start, I think we think the defense has a chance to be better. And the offense hasn't clicked on all cylinders. What's really interesting is you have a top 10 rushing offense. You have a top 5 passing offense after 2 weeks. It's a tiny sample size. But that doesn't feel like a team that has massive offensive problems. You couple that with things we talked about there with Jared Goff and Dan Campbell, raising the curtain a little bit that Sam LaPorta has been brought along slowly because of his injury, and that they've been worried about playing him too many snaps. So Sam LaPorta was a huge red zone target last year. Of his 10 touchdowns, 7 came on red zone snaps. You look at Josh Reynolds, who had 5 more touchdowns, 4 on plays within the red zone. And you go, okay, they're moving the football just fine. Fundamentally, they can still move the football up and down the field. When they've gotten to the red zone, there have been some issues. But you assume and hope that the weapon that is LaPorta gets used more and more as the weeks go by, and that the trust, it's something that we've focused on and talked about with Tim Patrick, is built. Now, I think if you've listened to the show for a long time, we do have a tendency, you and I, to think about how can things get better, how will they get better, why it's not as bad as it seems. But I think you start adding these things up, bringing LaPorta on slowly, Tim Patrick having to play, and I think it's pretty clear they're crash-coursing Tim Patrick to be Josh Reynolds and to play that role. Whether he's capable of that or not, we'll find out. But it feels like the red zone issues, you can make a strong case, as I think I'm doing right now, that this isn't something we're going to be talking about come week 5, week 6, week 7. It's an issue now, but is it going to be a long-term issue? And I know you hate when I bring it up, the one thing that you think I'm jinxing them, because it's been almost 2 calendar years since they've lost back-to-back games. But Gator, the reason I think it's important, it's because when an issue creeps up on one Sunday, they win the next Sunday. Meaning these things have been gotten, they've been getting addressed by Dan Campbell, by Aaron Glenn, and by Ben Johnson. At least addressed to the point that whatever cost them a game in week 5 doesn't cost them a game in week 6. So that's where I stand.
Yeah, I'm not freaking out about this. I think they need to be more efficient in the red zone. I think they actually need to get inside the 10-yard line for us to see when they become really efficient. Because once you get inside the 10, it looks more obvious that you can run the ball, and teams are going to key for that, particularly when you have a dynamic duel like the Lions have. But that also opens up the tight end getting open. Mm-hmm. It opens up for the possibility that, look at this, Brock Reich just caught a touchdown pass. We don't expect that. Or that Hesse, the other tight end, he gets open for a touchdown because who would think to cover him? I got to worry about LaPorta and St. Brown and Jahmyr Gibbs and Jameson Williams. Well, that guy just scored? Damn it. You know, there's so many more options. And yet the first 2 weeks, we just didn't see that many possessions inside the 10-yard line. Hopefully they're able to take care of that. I mean, the ultimate thing is just, hey, you're at the 45-yard line. You throw a pass, the receiver makes a move, and he's in the end zone.
So the other thing is that players aren't chess pieces. They don't move the same every single week. And if you take a look at their play calling in the game against, I think that fourth, that overtime drive against the Rams has left an impression. And in that overtime drive, David Montgomery carried the ball four times for
45 yards.
Is it 45? I thought it was 39 yards. The irony is they did give the ball in the red zone to Jahmyr Gibbs from the LA 18. Jahmyr Gibbs, left tackle. He did get the ball in the red zone there. But I think the memory of Montgomery's overtime drive showed that they aren't chess pieces that move the same every week, because he rushed for more yards in overtime against the Rams than he did all last week against Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was a great execution and wonderful drive against the Rams didn't carry over to the Tampa game with much regularity, oddly.
No, when Jared Goff talked about all the receiving options that he's got, how he loves to get, he can't wait to get the ball to any one of those receivers, right? Because he's got faith in all those guys. Now, a lot of that is just going to be, you know, being diplomatic and talking about your team. But it's also reality, because they do have so many different guys that can shine. So it's not going to be the same guy every week, because we talk about so many mouths to feed. I'm getting a little tired of having to say that one, but it makes sense. They've got all these weapons on offense, but you're not going to have five guys shining through every week. You're not going to win games 66-0 in the NFL. That doesn't happen. So each week you're going to see somebody emerge and somebody kind of take a back seat.
Now, if they're still kicking field goals or coming up empty in week 3, 4, and 5,
that's a problem.
But I'm not panicked yet.
I'm not either. But looking at Arizona is not a joke. I mean, they scored 28 points against Buffalo to start off, and they lost. Then they went up for 41 against the Rams and won. They ran the ball effectively against the Rams, and it wasn't Kyler Murray necessarily, although he had 59 yards rushing. James Conner ran for 122 yards. They used some other people out of the backfield that you wouldn't expect and ended up with 231 yards rushing in the game. Plus, Kyler Murray threw for 266 and 3 touchdowns and had a perfect quarterback rating in the game of 158.3 because he was 17 out of 21. Marvin Harrison Jr. wasn't really used in the first week. They only targeted him a few times. He catches 4 passes for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns on 8 targets in the game against the Rams. I mean, they've got their work cut out for him. Marvin Harrison Jr., even though he's a rookie in this league, we know how good he is and how talented he is. They've got a talented tight end in Trey McBride, the running back in James Conner. This is an offense that can get you in a number of different ways. Tight end, running back, wide receiver, and then, oh, by the way, you know, their quarterback is a bit of a video game at times. If he gets free, he's trouble. But he also knows when he's just going to lay down. Kyler Murray knows better than anybody else when it's time to slide or when it's time to just give yourself up and not take the hit, because he knows how important he is for this team's offense to get going. So if you get pressure on him and he's surrounded, he's not always going to look for the path of escape. He sometimes will just literally lay down.
Okay, so now if we were wired, Gator, to say why things aren't going to work out, I am a little intrigued and a little concerned about this LaPorta injury. Like, is it worse than we knew about? Is it going to be hard for him to get better during the season? Like, why? You know, I didn't think that this was any kind of severe injury that was holding him back in the preseason, and we've kind of heard about it more lately. I'm like, oh, crap. Is this worse than we knew?
I mean, the slow start, I would say, yeah, I'm kind of worried about that too. I am a smidge, I'm worried about it, but he got a lot of snaps. He got a lot of snaps in the game on Sunday, so he is healthy. The question is, are they trusting him enough in the passing game right now, even though he's not 100%? They trust him enough to sustain and block and to have contact.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dan Campbell even talked about earlier this week that they do plan on, they do look forward to seeing him step up offensively.
Yeah, I think week one was clearly they were just taking their time with reps and snaps with Laporta, making sure that, you know, he was getting back into game shape and getting ready for what the season, you know, has in store for, you know, a tight end that gets a lot of targets, which means he's going to get hit a lot. Week two, he played a ton of snaps, almost every snap. I think it was just golf was rusty, and I think Ben Johnson's play calling was maybe sporadic at times. I mean, Jameson Williams is getting a lot of targets, it seems like, the first 2 weeks, right? So that's going to take away. They've been using Gibbs in the passing game. I'm not super worried about the offense. And maybe that's me being overconfident in Ben Johnson, the offensive line, and all the playmakers they have. I go back to what you kind of said, Gator, with this game particularly. I'm more on edge about the defense and Kyler Murray and that Arizona offense for week three. I think the offense comes around for the Lions. I hope the defense stays as strong as it's been the first 2 weeks.
All right, Gator, interesting recruiting pitch. Would it work on you? We will get to that today at 12:32. It's Carson Anderson, Open Lines. We'll revisit some of what Goff had to say a little bit later on. 97.1 The Ticket.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.